Welcome to the Monday, December 18th podcast. The whole band is here, Tom, Greg, and Derek. We're 1 week away from Christmas. Guys, got your Christmas shopping done? I am pretty much done. What about you, Tom? You got everybody taken care of?
Yep, got it all done this weekend. That's why I took Friday off. Got everything done. All set to go.
What'd you get me?
I can't tell you. It's not Christmas yet.
Tell me that.
He already knows what I got. Derek already knows what I got.
Yeah,
I got
Derek Carr bobblehead, huh?
Yes, I can't wait to see that. I'm done with my shopping as well. We actually had Christmas weekend number one this past weekend, so I wasn't even actually able to go watch my my Vikes clinch at home yesterday. So either way, good game. I'm happy. But Christmas, let's roll. Two young kids in the house, so it's always a fun time here.
I got to ask you, your kids still believe in Santa Claus, son?
Yes, they do. My daughter is 7, and my little guy is 5, and I actually dress up as Santa on Christmas Eve and come in the house and do it. So this year might be the year that she figures it out. I do a hell of a job. I do myself up as Santa, and I make my voice sound different, and I put a beard on and everything. So it looks good. So they can't necessarily tell it looks like me, but I think maybe this year she's probably, her and her cousin are both the same age. They probably figure it out this year.
How come Dad's never here when Santa Claus shows up? Come on! By next year, she's figuring that shit out, no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
So your kids have already opened up presents. Ugh. They've got that urge for more presents, right?
Yeah, this is the tough week because now they've got some, like you said, and now they just want more, and it's hard. And then they got to wait, until the weekend. So it'll be a long week for them.
You know what? My kids are 22 and 18 and 16. And my wife still thinks that they need, dozens of presents. I don't know why she keeps doing that. And the toys aren't $9.99 anymore, honey. They're a little more expensive, but yet she's still got all kinds of them. I don't know. How do I break her out of that? I mean, I'm happy my kid's getting a lot of stuff, but I got to break her out of that.
Still gets me too many Christmas presents every year. I'm 41 now, so you know what I mean? It just, I don't know. So moms do.
Because we love them. Yep. We love them. We love them, yeah. I watched It's a Wonderful Life with Emily for the first time, Tom. I mean, she hadn't seen it before. I hadn't seen it for a while. Tears everywhere, man. Tears everywhere.
Never seen it!
Yeah. Are you American?
Yeah, well, Die Hard. That's your Christmas movie, baby.
There we go. Die Hard and Christmas Vacation back-to-back. That's what I like, too.
I'm going to be watching Die Hard on Crunk. Well, actually, I'm going to go see Star Wars on Christmas Eve, and then I'll watch Die Hard.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, we're going as a family, so we got our tickets for Christmas Eve.
All right. You see that picture of Ray Flowers? He's got a Star Wars sweater. Do you do that?
No, I don't know. No. I'll wear my Stormtrooper outfit. I don't have a Stormtrooper outfit. That's not true.
Oh, boy. All right, let's talk.
I wish I had a Stormtrooper outfit.
You do wish you had a Stormtrooper.
Yeah, right, I do.
Let's get to some sports. Come on, let's get to some sports here. Talk about gifts. Tommy, we're in the championship game of the FSTA. 3 straight years we got to the semifinal, lost in the semifinals. Number 4 was our lucky number 4, Brett Favre jersey. We got into the championship round. We beat Charlie Weigert handily, 142 to 100. And now we play Howard Bender, who we outscored by 250 points during the regular season. Are we favorites or underdogs?
Our favorites. We're the leading scorer in the league this year. More points per week, a lot more points per week than Howard had. So we're looking good. We just got to have the Buccaneers win tonight. So Rodgers plays next Saturday night.
No!
No! So there we go.
We don't want Rodgers playing against the Vikings next week when it's 7 degrees at home. He took a beating this week. We don't need him playing anymore. We're playing for draft spots, damn it.
We're not. We're playing for the title.
I know, not us. I mean the Packers. We're playing for a better draft spot. That's what Teddy loves anyways. So, all right. Derek, you're playing for a championship, right?
I did. Well, it's pending. I have my Empire League, as long as Matt Bryant doesn't. I think he needs 46.7 from Matt Bryant to beat me. So regular kicker scoring, I think I'm okay there. So, yep, I will be in the title game next week.
Nice. That's the Empire. So you win it 2 years in a row, and you get the whole pot that you said has grown for like 7 years, right?
Yeah, there's a solid four-figure amount in there, so it should be. I'll be playing for that next week.
I wish we had a four-figure amount in the FSTA League, but there is money involved, Tom, so we are winning some money. So let's get it done. Let's get it done. All right, tonight is Atlanta and Tampa. What are we looking for, Tom, tonight? Is it going to be a high-scoring game? Over-under is 49, minus 7 for the Falcons. I got to believe the Falcons are going to roll, but what are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as a Packer fan, we want the Buccaneers to win, so the Packers are still in the playoff race. And honestly, no. Okay, forget the Packers, but legitimately, the Falcons could lose out. If they lose this game tonight, which I think is possible, they'll be underdogs next week against the Saints, and then they finish up with Carolina, and they could definitely lose there. So Falcons got to win this game, and there's a lot of people that want them to lose, not just the Packers. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game. God, I just want Jameis Winston to play well. He's been so bad. I mean, I don't have any shares of him. I got no shares of Mike Evans, but it'd be nice to see Mike Evans play well. I think the Falcons are all looking good. No Tevin Coleman, so Devonta Freeman's going to get all kinds of volume tonight. He's looking fantastic. So we'll see. I mean, I think it'll be a good game.
All right, Derek, what are you looking for tonight? Got anything standing out for tonight's game?
No, I just think that we're going to look for a lot of points. That's what I'm predicting.
Yeah.
I think the 49 it might be a little low even here. Just looking for a good game. Not a lot else going on tonight, so yeah, I just want to settle in and like I agree with Tom. I'd like to see Jameis Winston do something and prove that he's not a shitty quarterback because he has looked bad lately. So yeah. And as a Vikings fan, I want the Falcons to win obviously because I want the Packers. Dead, done, and out for sure. Not that they have much of a chance,
but they still have a little alive chance, baby.
No,
the Buccaneers win. Aaron Rodgers goes to Minneapolis, or goes to Green Bay against Minnesota, and tears the Vikings to fucking shreds, baby.
Yeah, you predicted 34-2 with the Vikings.
I predicted Jordy Nelson was going to be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver this week. How'd that work out?
I don't know. They still lost that game, so whatever. Hey, let's talk about – I didn't think it was a good weekend for the NFL for many reasons, but one of them being, what is a catch? That Packer game, that guy's butt was out of bounds. I don't care if they have to go slow-mo. Replay was never set up for minuscule calls like that. It was for, is he out of bounds? Is his foot on the line or not, basically? This is bullshit. I thought that Jesse James one was terrible.
Awful.
And not because we had him, Tom, but it just was that was a great game, a great ending. Two plays, they went 80 yards and scored a touchdown to go ahead. It was fantastic. And instead, all anybody's talking about is if he took the ball to the ground. I'm sorry, NFL's got a problem here. If we had a scoring issue that bad, that controversial in the NFFC, we would change that rule the next year to make it better. The NFL has been doing this since 2010 when Calvin Johnson's touchdown was ruled incomplete. I just think the league has a major problem. Too many touchdowns yesterday were pulled off the board. And then we could talk about the fumble in the end zone, out of bounds, that goes over to the opposing team. They didn't even get the fumble, and yet it's a turnover. It makes no sense at all. Tom, I know you feel the same way, but what is a catch in the NFL anymore?
Well, no one knows what a catch is. It started with the Calvin Johnson things years ago, the Dez Bryant catch in the playoffs against Packers, and so on and so on and so on. Every game we're talking about. Hell, Geronimo Allison, which I thought was a good call, by the way.
Yeah.
He caught the ball, took two or three steps, and then got hit. I mean, that's a fumble to me. But even that's got to be debated. Oh, did he make a football move and all this bullshit? Here's the thing that's so fucking stupid. If Jesse James had run the ball there, it's a touchdown.
Yep.
Because if you're a runner and the ball crosses the plane, it doesn't matter if you drop it. It's a touchdown. But because he's a receiver, he can't do the same fucking thing that a runner can do. It's such bullshit. He caught the ball. The ball clearly crossed the plane.
Yep.
At that point, it's a fucking touchdown. I mean, we don't need to make this so goddamn difficult to understand.
And that's a touchdown everywhere else. Every other level of football on planet Earth, that's a catch and a touchdown.
Everybody sitting at home should be able to go, yeah, that's a touchdown, that's a catch.
I read something yesterday on Twitter where they said they should just take three guys that have played football, maybe two receivers and defensive back, and look for replay and literally go, is that a catch or is it not a catch in the majority rule? And they get it right 99% of the time.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yep. But hey, on the bright side, At least now we use index cards to decide what a
folded up paper.
He folds up paper that's now 2 inches thick. The ball clearly wasn't at the down marker. We've got pictures. I tweeted out a picture. You could clearly see the space between the ball and the down marker with the fucking index card in there. And it's a first. What the flying fuck?
I thought I fell asleep and was actually dreaming that for a minute. I was like, that can't be real.
Fuck a win right now when a guy pulls something literally out of his ass and says, this is what a first down is. Fucking bullshit. I don't even care who won the game. I wasn't rooting for either team. That's such fucking bullshit. I mean, if it was a bad spot, then you give it to the Raiders. It's their ball. Garrett can challenge if he wants. That's fine. But, oh, my fucking God. I mean, yeah. And the fumbling out of the end zone. They called that right. It's just a stupid fucking rule.
That's a terrible rule.
Move it back to the 10-yard line. You know? Huh? Put the ball on the 10-yard line.
Put it on the 20-yard line. Whatever. Anything. It's the only place on the field where the defense doesn't have to get possession of the ball to be awarded the ball after a that's not fucking common sense. You're right. Give them a penalty. 10, 15 yards, 20, put it at the 20. Whatever you got to do, but the offense should keep the ball because they never fucking lost the ball.
Yeah.
Now, that's the one rule that has to change next year. I don't see anybody in favor of that rule. I don't even know. Is that the rule in college? It's possible it is. I don't even know. But it's a game. Football's got to change that. Get possession of the ball. That's fine. I can understand if you recovered it and then went out of bounds. But nobody got possession. Just move it back to the 20. Penalize them big time. Move them back anywhere, but you don't turn the ball over on that. So, all right, let's talk about some good stuff. Let's say some praise of some guys. How about that Todd Gurley, 45 points in the NFFC, which is great because owners who had him probably won their league title. And some of those guys are going to win the overall title because of Todd Gurley. And that's good because that's the way it should be. How about Kareem Hunt? 39.6. I'm not sure owners won league titles with him because he kind of faded for half the season, but great to see him in week 15 come through. Mark Ingram, 32.1. Again, another guy who did very well. So, Tom, there were a lot of good performances. Antonio Brown injury was really a kick in the nuts, no doubt about that. But we saw some guys, the cream rise to the top, right?
Yeah, I mean, the guys you mentioned were all good. Both the Saints running, I mean, Mark Ingram went bananas yesterday, and Kamara was still really good in his return from the concussion. Yeah, I mean, just a lot of great performances. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, were literally getting people off the fucking stands and throwing touchdown passes to Blake Bortles is out of his mind right now. I mean, I said weeks ago I love him for the playoffs. He is playing lights out. Some Tommy Bohannon rushing for touchdowns. I mean, it was a lot of crazy fun stuff that was should be the focus of this week. Unfortunately, it's not.
Yeah, 10 running backs had 20 or more points this week. 9 wide receivers had 20 or more points. Leading the wide receivers, of course, we expected a Keelan Cole.
Yeah, Keelan Cole.
31.6. About Jaden Mickens, of course, he had 22.1.
He literally was sitting in the front row before the game started. Marquise Lee got hurt. They went, hey, is there anybody in the stands who can play wide receiver? It's the Texans. You can just run down the field. You'd be wide open all day. And Jaden Mickens raised his hand, and they signed him on the spot. That's literally what happened. I was watching the game.
Another Marquise we could talk about, Derek, was Marquise Goodwin, 22.4 points, because Jimmy Garoppolo is playing 3 in a row for the Niners. There are even fans in the stands. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo can do, put butts in the seats. But what about Garoppolo? He looked pretty damn good for a second-round pick they gave up for him. I think that's a bargain.
Ah, the Magic G's in San Francisco, Garoppolo, Gould, and Goodwin. They look like they got absolute steel right now. The Patriots got to be kicking themselves for only getting a second and a fourth at this point because the way you see him playing right now, I mean, he'd be worth, to me, probably a first and a second, at least what you'd get for him on the trade market now. So Patriots, that's good. I like to see New England get kicked in the balls once in a while, especially after that game last night.
Yeah, well, they were dead to rights last night. But you know what? They were going to lose him at the end of the year. They got something for him, but I agree with you. They held on too long, but how Cleveland could not step up, how so many of these other teams that have this is a franchise quarterback. I thought he was fantastic. You talk about Robbie Gould, how about 26.9 points in the NFFC? That's just amazing out of a kicker. But, you know, the Bears have had kicker problems all year.
Why is this guy not still in Chicago? Why did he not end his career in Chicago?
He's missed two field goals since they cut him. Two. In 2 years.
I hated when the Packers played him because he was automatic.
Yeah, exactly.
He was automatic, man. This guy is so good, and he has done so much. What, he's, what, 5 for 5, 6 for 6, and 5 for 5, I think, or something like that? Just unbelievable. So, but, yeah, awesome job there. All right, QBs, let's just talk about it. Cam Newton, 41.9 points. Yeah, Packers defense, you held them under 42. Good job, man. Good job. Beautiful. How about Eli, 37.7. Nick Foles, 35.8. Tom, we said he was going to have a good game. Derek?
Yeah.
We said that on Friday, right?
The weapons are there, still there. You know, same game plan. He's a viable backup QB, and you saw what he could do given the right situation. He's got two more nice games coming up. I know one more week in fantasy. The fantasy is all we have left, and he's a definite, probably a top 12 guy again next week.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll talk about next week's games tomorrow. We got the Monday night game, and then we're going to also talk about who's leading the NFFC contest. Man, we got a lot of close races. Again, Gurley leading a lot of teams, but Antonio Brown is definitely out this week. So, Tom, you just got to roll with your stars, hope the matchups work, and hope they all stay healthy, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great week, but at this point, you play your top guys. I mean, really, who are the top guys that aren't getting it done that you feel terrible about at this point? Not many.
DeAndre
Hopkins. Who?
AJ Green.
Yeah, AJ Green would probably be the one guy. He's got Darius Slay, but, I mean, you got to start AJ Green. I mean, I don't know. Other than that, most top guys are getting it done or performing at a decent level, so you just roll with your best guys and... You know, I was going to say DeAndre Hopkins went into Jacksonville twice now and dominated them. So
yeah.
Start your best guys. Don't lose sleep over the best guys. Worry about your flex plays and your kicker and your defense. Worry about that.
All right, let's talk about one takeaway you guys got from this week. For me, it was really that Rams game. I hate to say it, but the Seattle almost just look like they're done at home. Can you imagine being at that stadium where they are so dominant all the time? They just beat Philadelphia there a couple weeks ago, and you come there and it's 42-0, ends up 42-7. To me, it just showed this Rams team and what Sean McVay has done. Doug Peterson probably deserves Coach of the Year honors, but what Sean McVay has done there is something I have never seen a turnaround like that. Goff looks like a great quarterback. Gurley looks like something else, like we expected him the first year. I just think the Rams, for me, was the takeaway this week. So impressive. And the NFC is wide open. Vikings can win. Philadelphia can win. Rams can win. Rams can win it all.
Saints can win, too.
They are that well coached.
Saints can win, too.
Absolutely. But that's my takeaway as the Rams.
By the way, Todd Gurley is now my leading candidate for the MVP award. You can laugh all you want, but with Antonio Brown hurt, Carson Wentz hurt, Russell Wilson losing, and I think Tom Brady, to me, shitted away last week against Miami. When you play that poorly, you're out. So to me, it's Todd Gurley, maybe Le'Veon Bell. All right, I'll tell you the team keep an eye on right now. We might have talked about them a little bit last week. The Baltimore Ravens, they have got a complete offense right now. Joe Flacco is playing good football. Alex Collins is running it well. Their defense is still hanging in there without Jimmy Smith. I worry about that a little bit. The Baltimore, nobody's going to want, they're going to be the team in the AFC. Everybody's going to be like, I don't want to play the Ravens, because that's going to be a tough out.
I'm not touting the Ravens because Alex Collins had the ball on the 1 yard line twice and couldn't even get it in the goal when I said he was going to score a touchdown.
Flacco's running in touchdowns. He should have been running them all in yesterday.
They should stop running him. He's had enough concussions, and they do some sweep with him.
He almost scored another time. They should have snuck him when they're
there. It was the other time that I'm talking about where he took a heck of a hit there. I didn't think they needed to do that. All right, Derek, what's your takeaway?
I'm going to echo, I think, both of you guys, other than the fact that the NFL's got to figure out these refs. I mean, we've been saying that for weeks now. But again, I agree with you, Greg. It was impressive to watch the Rams, and that division has turned for them moving forward for a while here. They're so young, so talented. Seahawks are going the other way. And, you know, now you got San Francisco looking like they've probably turned the corner with Garoppolo and stuff. So that's going to be fun to watch that division moving forward. And then Tom, too, on the Gurley side, I agree. I think he is the leading candidate for the MVP right now. And just imagine if he'd played all the quarters. He's sat in the second half and fourth quarters in probably five or six games this year already. Imagine the numbers he could have if they weren't rolling teams by 30 every week. So, again, to me right now, and the takeaway I have is, we mentioned, but I think the NFC is vastly superior to the AFC right now. I still got to go with the Patriots or the Steelers coming out, although I do agree the Ravens are the one team that nobody wants to see because they've actually gone into New England and kicked them in the mouth in the last couple of years in the playoffs a couple of times. So I just think that when it all spirals and we're sitting in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl, I think whatever NFC team is there is going to be a favorite over the AFC team that's there.
Yeah. One other takeaway is I'm going to cash that Chiefs bet 3-1 to win their division.
There you go.
You guys both said I wasn't cashing that baby, so I'm going to cash that baby. We go there in baseball. So, and again, I hope we're at the Bellagio. We're still talking with the Bellagio, Aria, and other places. We'll have news there. So, all right, that's about it. Tomorrow, like I say, we'll talk about the players who are leading our NFFC contest, tell you their margin of victory, and have those people sit on pins and needles for another 6 days as they get ready to cash $150,000, $100,000, $80,000, and a whole lot more in the NFFC. Good luck to everybody tonight, and good luck to everybody in Week 16. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.